Welcome into Baltimore Sports Today, the daily podcast from the Baltimore Sports Report Network. This is episode 343 for Friday, December 9th, 2016. I'm Zach Will from BaltimoreSportsReport.com, joined as always by my good pal, Jabby Burns. How are you, Jab?
I'm good, Zach. It's a football Friday, but we're going to kind of change it up a little bit today for everybody. First of all, welcome to you as well. I know a couple days we haven't been able to knock it out here, so we apologize. But we had our crack staff down at the winter meeting, so we had to do all that stuff, compiling all the interviews, compiling all the research. Well, no, we didn't do any of that either. But we are here to talk about that today because we're gonna push the Football Friday to Football Monday because our Baltimore Ravens are going to Foxborough where they're supposed to get, Zach, 3 to 5 inches of snow for the game on Monday night.
Wow.
So that should be fun. It feels like it's going to snow here in the City of Charm on a Friday, as we pointed out. It is freezing. It's also December, so it's supposed to be cold, so you won't hear me talk about that because that's what it's supposed to be. Now, when we were talking in the bullpen before the show, you were talking about that it's a bit frigid down there in the FLA.
That's right. Yeah, I'm going to have to wear pants tonight, unfortunately. Oh, I know, that's a bummer.
You have beautiful sticks, too, so God, those ladies are going to be... That's big trouble.
No t-shirts.
Hopefully you wear your tight pants, though. You know, wear those tonight? Because you got to dress up like a big boy tonight in this event, don't you?
I can be goofy tonight.
You're goofy every night.
That's true. That's true.
And you're Donald and you're Mickey. There's a lot of different guys that you can be.
We're going to the Christmas party at the Magic Kingdom tonight. So that's
sour balls for
a lot of fun. Yeah, sour balls and cookies and cocoa are included. So,
cocktails or no?
No. There are no cocktails at the Magic Kingdom. Nope.
I know where they do have it at the Animal Kingdom.
That's true. That is definitely true.
Craft beers over there.
So that should be a lot of fun. It is chilly by Florida comparison. It's in the 50s today, so that's like you'll be able to tell the Floridians because they'll have their winter coats on for a night like tonight,
and a lot of North Faces.
Oh yeah, and the tourists, you know, will be shorts and t-shirts because it's still way warmer than it would be.
Well, because they also didn't bring it. They also didn't bring anything else.
Yeah, they weren't expecting that. Right. So
that'll be the case. Well, it is the winter. It is a hot stove. I mean, everybody, you know, throw in all your bad puns, but your Baltimore Orioles, Zach, while we were both grinding this week at our other regular jobs, they were, I'm not going to say active, right? Because obviously they didn't make a lot of things happen, though they own the Rule 5 draft. Do they not own the Rule 5 draft?
They do.
I mean,
you always know you're going to get news from the Orioles at the winter meetings on the Rule 5 draft day. You're not going to get it anywhere else. But come Rule 5 draft, yep, you better start doing your reading.
Yeah, I was hitting up our boy Connor with over the text because our boy Connor, who I don't know why you're not following him, he's phenomenal on the old Twitters and is a BSR compadre here. I was texting with him about his boy Flaherty, who I think might have found his way maybe off this team somehow with some of these nine Rule 5 guys that the Orioles selected. Your boy Dan Duquette went out, and here's a shock. He took a Red Sox player from the Red Sox system with the first pick in the draft there, Tavares, I think that's what his name was. But anyway, outfielder there. Our boy Nate Showalter was also down there as well and was giving us some feedback on some of the things that the Orioles were interested in. Also, he got Hernandez was one of the guys that he really liked, so as a pitcher that they got with the third pick in the Rule 5 stuff. So we'll see how what happens there. But, you know, we've had some success, I guess you would say, with the Rule 5 guys at least making the team. We've also had some guys like Jason Garcia. And, you know, he was on the team for a while. Now he got down and, you know, hopefully he's making his way back through. So we'll see what happens. But overall, what were your impressions or, I guess, not impressions of what happened with the Orioles side of things at the winter meetings?
A lot of things happened around them, right? I think I read a piece from our guy Eddie Matz from ESPN who had a great line about how you know, the Orioles still need a corner outfielder, you know, they still need a catcher, obviously pitching is a concern to some, leadoff hitter, and I think the number at the time that he wrote was that the rest of the AL East spent $135 million around the Orioles at the winter meeting. So well, that's not, you know, that's we've seen in the past that winners of the offseason aren't necessarily winners of the regular season, and I think the Orioles have been perfect examples of that. But man, the rest of the East Well, specifically the Yankees and the Red Sox were incredibly active during the winter meetings. So a lot going on around them, and still some holes to be filled, and guys coming off the board. You know, I mean, when you see, you know, I mean, guys that I think the Orioles should have been interested in, guys like Dexter Fowler, who they were interested in, guys like Ian Desmond, who, you know, I wanted them to be interested in. Yeah, like Adam Eaton, although I don't think they had the pieces to acquire Adam Eaton like the Nationals
did. They definitely didn't.
But guys going off the board like that, you know, it makes filling your gaps in your roster a little more difficult the more guys go off the board. So
yeah, I think they did. I don't think they did anything crazy. I want to get back to what you said with some of these other deals that did transpire. The Nats obviously gave up a, you know, prospect laden deal for Adam Eaton, is a player that I've told you in private and said to people I thought he would have been a perfect fit for the Orioles, not only for what he does on the field, but also his contract being a team friendly, you know, that whole thing. And it seems like that was the narrative this whole winter meetings was: team control. That seemed like all the teams want or players are going to be under team control, team control, team control. I heard that word. That was the buzzword down there at the National Harbor, which we need to go down to, I think, Zach, and maybe play some cards at the new casino.
Yeah,
MGM
opened.
But here's my thing on these deals. How great would it have been if we had players in our system like the Red Sox and were able to basically move without spending any money a team control, team friendly contract top flight pitcher like Chris Sale fit him into the Orioles rotation? It would have been a perfect deal for the Orioles. And I know everybody would say it's a perfect deal for anybody. I mean, Chris Sale could help anybody. I understand that. What I'm saying is the way that the Orioles have financial constraints, the way that the Orioles have a lack of a starting pitcher, somebody that they really, really could use at the top of the rotation, then have Tillman, everybody else come in fall. Chris Sale was a perfect fit for the Orioles. Now, this gets back to my point when sometimes I take umbrage with Dan sometimes, is that the draft and that, you know, we're building these players in our system. And I understand Manny Machado. I understand Jonathan Scope, even, you know, to a lesser extent, Matt Wieters and some of these others. But right now, if you look at the system, Zach, the highest rated player in our system, I think, is Chan Sisko, because Mancini's up and things of that nature now. And he's ranked 100. You're not even getting to the table with some of these guys if your top, you know, prospect is in the hundreds. Hunter Harvey's hurt. I can understand maybe he would be in the mix. I know that they asked about Corey Sedlock, the pitcher that was picked last year, and Keegan Aiken was also discussed. But those are kind of like for smaller deals. These are for not the guys, not the Adam Eatons, not the Chris Sales. And I'm not saying that the Red Sox didn't pay a tremendous amount to get Machado, right? So they had to pay a service fee to get him. But I get that. But they are also able to have a guy that they drafted in the 33 round that ended up panning out, throwing 105 miles an hour, and become somebody that's a big centerpiece of a deal to be able to get a Chris Sale, to add to a David Price, to add to a Rick Porcello, Stephen Wright, and whoever else you want to put it back into that rotation. I'm not saying that the Red Sox are going to win the AL East. They're going to be favored now at this point, no matter what the Yankees and others do throughout this offseason. But Zach, that's why I think that this system needs help. That's why we keep harping on stop trading the draft picks, stop getting rid of draft picks, go out and make some draft picks, find some guys, because not only are they going to help you in your system, they're going to help you in these situations where you can go out and grab a guy like Sale or a guy like Adam Eaton. I agree. Maybe the Nationals gave up too much for Adam Eaton. I'll let that play out. But if the Nationals are looking to win this year, Zach, like it seems like they have this window now, they're going to get rid of Harper and they're going to switch it over. And now Turner can go back to shortstop. I heard all the pundits saying it was a terrible deal. Well, I don't know what Lucas Giolito is going to do. I do know Adam Eaton is a stud. He's going to lengthen that lineup out. And for me, I think that's a win for the Nationals, especially with when they want to win now. And aren't the Orioles in that same situation?
Sure, they are. And you know, if you want to get the farm system to a point where you can acquire Chris Sale, I can do that for you. I can do that for you right now if you want to make that happen.
Let's trade Zach Britton.
Yep, let's set up trades for Zach Britton. You know, you don't think you're going to sign Manny Machado long term. His value is never going to be higher. Trade him away. I mean, look at what the White Sox are doing from the flip side, right?
They're doing the Cubs. They're trying to do the Cubs.
They're doing the Cubs, right. And they're doing what the Astros did before the Cubs did it. So if you're concerned...
Would you be willing to do that?
No, because I think that this team has a chance to win at this moment. So,
okay.
And on top of that, for so long, I rooted for a team that you know, didn't have a chance in the future and didn't have a chance right now. So I'd much rather, you know, have the situation that we have now where I know that they're able to win. And Mankato, like the deal for Chris Sale's fantastic, and I have done some Googling here in an attempt to find what the Red Sox paid for Mankato, because I'm not necessarily sure that I think that's, you know, a fair comparison, you know? I mean, yeah. I know that they've drafted very well, but February 23rd, 2015, Red Sox signed Mankata for $31.5 million. So,
and that's not even the posting fee, because they had to do a posting fee as well, probably.
Not for guys out of Cuba. No, okay, that's the only postings for in Japan, yeah.
Japan, okay.
Yep. So $31.5 million, and that's just something that, you know, the Orioles...
We don't have.
And, you know, maybe they should look to spend $31.5 million on guys like this. Maybe that's another aspect they can improve upon, but... That you know, that tells me a little bit less about the farm system. And the Red Sox farm system's great, but, you know, that I don't know that it's necessarily a fair comparison. The Orioles need to improve. I'm with you. Look, the Orioles need to improve their farm system. They need to take draft picks more seriously. I think it's a deeper problem than that. I think their player development is bad too. They don't have guys in the top 100. You know, not just as a result of poor drafting, but also because they've struggled to develop players. You know, they've developed Manny Machado, but I Manny Machado was a can't miss. You know, I don't think he's necessarily a product of the system, more just a product of being a superstar stud baseball player, right? I don't think, you know, I think this system could be better with guys that that are drafted, you know, with better draft picks and with better player development.
Yep.
And really the only way to do that, I think, is to blow it up. So I guess I'm less concerned about guys like Chris Sale getting moved, and more concerned about, you know, finding a leadoff hitter, corner outfielder, figuring out what you're doing behind the plate for the time being, because I still think the Orioles are very much in the mix with the guys that they do have on this roster right now.
I agree with you. I don't think Chris Sale completely gives the Red Sox the championship right off the bat, though their lineup is going to get better. I think Mitch Moreland's a good addition for them. It's a first baseman type thing. I don't think Big Sloppy's coming out of retirement. He can tweet whatever he wants. I don't think that's happening. But they do have, they kept Benintendi, which I think was huge. I would ask for Benintendi over Mankato myself, because I know what he can do already. I've already seen it at that level. But here nor there, when we get back to the Orioles, the Orioles are in a position of pretty much the normal thing that they do, right? Zach, so this offseason, they're going to wait, let the market play out. There's a buzzword for you for the offseason. Let the market play out.
Yeah.
We'll see what happened with Trumbo. I actually think the Trumbo sweepstakes is starting to shrink for him team-wise. Yeah, it sounds like the Rockies still have money after they gave Desmond a bunch of deal. But then what are you going to do? You're talking about playing Desmond at first. Where are you going to play Mark? He cannot play the outfield in Camden Yards, let alone play in a cavernous ballpark like Coors. You know, make him try to run down balls in that ballpark. Those would be triples turned into home runs. So I think that's shrinking for him a little bit. Seattle's an interesting spot for him as well, because, you know, where do you play him? Isn't Nelson? I mean, we compared him and Nelson last year to each other. I mean, how much different are you going to get with that whole deal? So I think that's one thing, that there's a chance they've had a lot of dialogue with him. It sounds like Dan and his agents are continuing to talk. So we'll see what happens when it comes to that. You and I both believe he's probably gone, and you and I both, I think it's not that big of, I mean, it's not like I'm going to be distraught when Trumbo signs with somebody else. I think
when we were talking about this at the beginning of the week before the winter meetings start, you know, that was the conclusion we came to. And interestingly, the way it's been a roller coaster type week as far as his market goes, right? Because as soon as we stopped that podcast and published that podcast, I think it was Buster Olney said that, you know, the Orioles were looking to move on from Mark Trumbo, right? And then
the next morning
we wake up and it's like, actually, no, they're continuing their discussions with Mark Trumbo. And that's the way it's going to go, right? Until he finds his place. I think the Orioles are, you know, a little more firm about what they're willing to offer Trumbo compared to what they were willing to offer Davis last year, you know?
Yep.
I think there was a lot more wiggle room with re-signing Davis because he was a higher priority than bringing
Trumbo. And the owner was in love with him.
Yeah, that too, right? That's definitely a part of it.
The other thing I saw too that I heard is the Orioles were, here's going to come as a big shock to you, the Orioles were offered Nick Markakis back from the Braves for Brad Brock. That's not a joke. That's a legit very good source told me that. And again, we get back to this guy all the time, and he continues to come up and somehow link to the Orioles and many other teams. But Yasiel Puig was also offered for Brad Brock. Now, Brad Brock turned out to be the hot chick for the Orioles at the winter meetings. Yeah. Everybody was asking about Brad Brock, Brad Brock, Brad Brock. It sounds like Brad Brock is on this team as of right now, and I can understand. You got Givens, you got O'Day hopefully coming back, and I think Donnie Hart has shown that he could be a viable left-handed guy, at least last year towards the end of the year he was there. The question is, with all these closers, Zach, getting all of this money, you see the Chapman deal, you see what Kelly Jansen's going to get, you see what stinking Melanson got, for God's sakes. That's crazy to me. Now, I understand the Giants needed a need, and Melanson's been an under-the-radar type closer, but it has really, really good numbers. What the hell could you get for Zach Britton right now?
Yeah, you could get a ton. You could get a ton. So that's why, the Orioles farm system obviously is not going to bring in the type of pieces that we hope they would bring in. But it's not like they don't have anything that, you know, they can't deal, right? I still would like to see them hold on to Britton, but should they choose to move him, the return would be high. And I honestly, I thought there'd be a market for Brad Brock, but man, his name has been, you know, tied to so many different teams and so many different players and, you know, all kinds of different holes that could be filled. So that's incredibly encouraging as well. The Orioles have needs and free agents are coming off the board, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not going to be able to, you know, move towards a deal. When I see, you know, stuff like the Gerard Dyson type news with the Royals, right? I know, but you know, that's another type of move that the Orioles could make should they.
You know how they feel about Dyson, though.
I know how you feel about Dyson.
I know how certain guys in the organization feel about Dyson as well. So that's why I don't think that. But I'm with you. You're not into the clubhouse thing. You don't think it's that big of a deal. What did you think of Dan's?
Hold on a second.
It's a little overblown.
I think fans think that they know how the clubhouse feels when they're ignoring pictures of Adam Jones hanging out with David Ortiz on off days, you know?
Correct.
I mean, like, let's not act
like Adam Jones had a pretty good time down at David Ortiz's. If you followed Ed's Instagram, he had a good time down at David Ortiz's golf event this past week too.
Yeah. So let's not act like, you know, these guys all hate each other just because the fans do. And also let's not ignore the .340 on base percentage that Gerard Dyson had last year, in 107 games. So just because
I'm not ignoring it. I just don't know if that's the fit for it, especially after you come out and actually say, Jose Bautista, you can't come here because the fans don't like you.
I think that's an extreme, right? I mean, I don't think that they like Jose Bautista. I genuinely
I think it's
believe
more players that. Than the fans.
I agree. In that case, I agree. But in the other, 99% of cases, I think it's the fans make way more big of a deal out of it than the front office and the players do.
Yeah, probably do. Would you be good with Dyson? Where's he going to play? Play right? Lead off?
What's the price? I mean, depends on what the price is. The guy's only played 120 games, is the most he's played in the last 6 years. So that's a little bit concerning, turning a guy who's a part-time player into a full-time player. But what are they looking for in return? You know, the other thing is he's a free agent in 2018. So you're not getting a ton of control over him either. So
does it look like Kansas City's trying to blow that up?
I think they're trying to decide if they're going to blow it up. I think they've definitely shopped around some of their guys, you know, in
Kane
an attempt
even,
to blow it up. Yeah. But I don't know that they've committed to that plan quite yet. The thing that's tough for them, right, is that in that division, you know, I think everybody agrees that Cleveland's going to win that division next year. But what's their competition behind them, right? I mean, they could easily finish in second place, and the teams that they get to play 19 times a year, you know, could be enough to get them to at least 500, right?
Correct.
You pick up a few more wins, and boom, you're a wild card team, right? So I don't know. It might be worth it for them. If I'm a fan of the Royals, I'm saying, hang on, the competition's not, you know, tough enough for me to say let's blow this thing up and start over, and you're not that far removed from winning a World Series with, you know, most of these guys. So I would personally, if I were a fan of the Royals, I'd say let's give it another shot for another year and see how it plays out.
They were right there last year too, towards the end of the year, even as bad as they started the year. They were right there in the mix in the wild card. They were one of the teams that we were trying to fend off to get into the wild card thing. The other player, as you know, I love, Michael Saunders, was brought up at the winter meetings as that the Orioles were interested. I knew that I wasn't shocked by that, but I think he's waiting for that market to play out. I feel like his name is one of those names that you either really like him or you're off him. Like, there's no like middle ground for some reason with him. This seems like certain teams are, you know, he fits them really well. I think he fits well here with the Orioles, left-handed bat, outfielder. And yeah, he's got some injury marred seasons in there as well. So you have to take that into effect as well. But is there anybody else left out there that, Zach, that you see that you would say, hey, I think the Orioles, this is a good fit. Like, you know, everybody keeps linking the Orioles to Angel Pagan. Every time we get linked to somebody, Zach, I feel like we never get him.
Chris Carter's one that everybody love. A lot of swing and miss on that bat. His
perfect Oriole.
Him being non-tendered is an incredibly interesting story, by the way. You know, I think that says a lot about
40 homers, right?
How they feel about him. Yeah, I think he led the National League in home runs last year.
Right.
So, I mean, that's interesting. I don't know. I mean, I think they're going to end up with either Wieters or Trumbo. I wouldn't be surprised if they re-signed both of those guys. I mean, honestly, like,
I'm with you. Where's Wieters going to go?
Right. What's Wieters' market, right? It sounds awfully quiet. And I know we got Scott Boras coming out and saying, well, we're going to be patient. We're going to wait till January. Are you being patient or is there not a market for your client? Right.
I mean, well, last time I checked, Wilson Ramos can't play till the middle of next summer, and right. He's already got a deal with the Rays.
Yeah, yeah. So the Wieters market's interesting. I think, you know, Encarnacion, whatever ends up happening with him is going to determine, you know, the price for a guy like Mark Trumbo. So I tend to think that, you know, that's going to be a wait and see, but I wouldn't be surprised again. It just seeing the news of, you know, their negotiations with Mark Trumbo over the winter meetings, I think it was one of the most interesting pieces of the winter meetings for me, right? Because when we stopped recording and, you know, you sent me the tweet from Buster saying that they had moved on, I'm thinking, okay, good. You know, I like that. Fine. And then from there on, it was like, well, actually they're meeting again, blah, blah. You know, we talked about it earlier. And that to me just says everything about how interested truly they are in bringing Mark Trumbo back. So
seems like there's good dialogue on both sides too.
It does, and I understand it from both sides. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't quite solve their problems, I think, but I get it, and I get that they've, you know, won a lot of games by hitting a lot of home runs. So I just, you know, I need to see some better defense. I need to see some on-base percentage to really get behind this. And I still don't have a ton of faith in the starting staff. So those are my concerns. And you know, neither one of those two moves addresses either one of them. So
did you like the little rhetoric coming out about contract talks with Chris Tillman and no contract extension talks with one Manny Machado?
I like one of the two.
Well, but you're not shocked. I mean, do you think there's any chance that Manny doesn't take this up to free agency?
I do think there's a chance that the Orioles re-sign Manny Machado. I've always thought that there's a chance that they re-sign him, but I just think they have to change their front office philosophy to do that.
You mean be creative?
Yeah, be creative. Yeah. I mean,
you gonna eat opt-outs?
Yep. Yep.
No trade clauses?
They don't
like those. They don't like those, Zach.
Well, then they're, again, I mean, I get tired of saying the same things, but they can not like them all they want. But then, you know, how much are they not going to like when Manny Machado's playing for the Yankees, you know?
Mm-hmm. With Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
That's $800 million just right there between these two players, according to them, according to their agents. That's hilarious. So. I do want to talk about the Nats real quick, though. I know they're the neighbor. They're the Masson Cup runner-ups every year. Do you think Rizzo kind of just, do you think they panicked in this whole deal? And because I feel like the deal that they, I felt like they were, thought they were going to get McCutcheon. That didn't work out.
Yeah.
Then they thought, all right, well, this Chris Sale thing is, we got enough prospects. And, you know, and Rizzo, let's say, I'll say this about Rizzo. He does a fantastic job of drafting. He usually does a really good job with trades. This one, I feel like maybe before the deal went down, I was thinking, man, Rizzo is just one of those guys. He's not going to get rid of his players, right? He just loves his draft picks too much. He's just not going to get rid of the guys that he's brought up, and he's had really good success with that. But then they go out and they go to get a guy who, again, I think on the baseball field, war-wise, look at all the fancy stats, all the blocks. Adam Eaton checks a lot of things. I mean, he really does. He's going to be a hard-nosed player, good outfielder, moves Turner back to shortstop to get Espinoza back in his normal should-be pinch-hitting-slash-utility-type role. But did they – here's my thing. Is Lucas Giolito maybe the most overrated prospect of all time, or did they just panic and feel like they had to make a move?
Yeah, I thought a lot about this too. Yeah,
he's been how many times is he from his first start when he started this ballyhooed guy is going to start to now? I feel like his value has dropped tremendously, yeah. And I'm not maybe they know their player better than we do.
Right.
Well, I know they do.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm back and forth about this too, and I'm wondering, you know, if the light free agent market has made teams more willing to trade. You know, these big prospects is because we've seen them move. And like you mentioned before, you're absolutely right. We've seen GMs like, you know, clench these guys so tight in their fist that, you know, everybody knows babies. That they're not going to be traded. And that kind of all went out the window this year. And is that a result of the market? Is that
CBA
possibly over? Yeah. CBA. Is that, you know, us possibly overhyping these guys a little bit? I don't know. I do think Giolito was a tad overrated, right? And I think if they're willing to part with him in this deal in particular, that you know they knew that they had some concerns with him. But I don't know. I think the market is playing into it as well. You know, I think that the Red Sox not being able to sign a guy like Chris Sale and the Nationals not being able to sign a guy like Adam Eaton have made them more willing to part with these pieces.
Right. Yeah, and I think, like I said, people in D.C. were losing their mind because they've heard these prospects for so long. And once you see that you've offered kind of a similar package for Chris Sale and then you, quote unquote, you know, get the secondary guy in Adam Eaton, I think Adam Eaton, an everyday player, I would always take over a starter. But I think that's where people are seeing it. They're seeing the fact that you had one package for a guy like Chris Sale and another package for a guy like Adam Eaton, and you go, well, why would – he's got to be worth less. Well, right. If you look at the war numbers, if you look at this – like I said, the fancy blog stats, all the things that Zach knows all about, Adam Eaton checks a lot of those boxes. And I think it lengthens that lineup a little bit. It helps them kind of bridge the gap. I think Harper should have a better year. I think he's going to be motivated knowing that basically he's playing as a free agent every year until his free agency years comes up, don't you think? I mean, they basically came out and said they're not going to pay him a certain amount. We're ready to move on was the actual term. You know, I think that could be a lot of, you know, like we say on the show all the time, like rhetoric, a little bit something, smokescreen, that kind of thing. Maybe they find a common ground. But do you think he's going to come back motivated? You got a, you know, a Daniel Murphy who showed that he was a phenomenal pickup for them last year, MVP candidate. I mean, he was right there. I'm just wondering if that's what they did there. Plus, they have the pitching. I mean, it's not like they're the Orioles. I mean, they still have Max Scherzer. They still have Strasburg. They still have Tanner Roark. They kept the kid Robles that they really liked as well out of the deal. So, you know, they're not hurting over there. I think they're in a position where they see what's going on around them, and they're to have that window. And I feel like the window for the Nats is right now and the next couple years here while they have these guys. And I think that's going to end up being a good trade, a much better trade in season for the Nats. And I'll tell you this, the White Sox are a sleeping giant now with all these deals that they've made, Zach. If these guys, if any of these guys can come up and be half as good as what people think, they're doing a good job. Because I don't think they're done moving guys. I think Abreu gets moved.
Yep.
I think Todd Frazier gets moved.
I do too.
I think what's gone on over in Chicago on the other side of town has really opened their eyes, the White Sox, and they see this team who's never won a World Series in the Cubs, and they said, we have to start making, you know what, maybe it's not the news that the White Sox fans want to see, but they see the blueprint on the wall, and maybe that's what they're doing too. And maybe, you know, the Houston Astros, maybe some of these other teams, maybe the Orioles. And I know that you think we're in a position to continue to contend year after year. And I tend to agree with you, but I wouldn't hate it if the Orioles some point just kind of said, you know what, we're going to move on from some of these guys. We're going to make some deals and we're going to turn into, like you said, a, I think Minnesota's in that same boat as well. Some teams that are starting to kind of get their young guys together. If they have enough young guys, you can go out and add pieces and trades. Because I think trades, Zach, are becoming more and more popular now that, like you said, because the free agent market is so bad, really. I mean, it's really just one of the lowest.
This year. Yeah. Look at the free agent market next year, though. I mean, it's the complete
opposite.
Is it absurd?
Yeah. That's not the Harper-Manny year. That's 2 years from now, right?
Maybe it is 2 years from now. Maybe that's what I mean.
That's what it is. That's 2 years from now. That's when the Orioles basically is Armageddon for the Orioles because everybody's up. Dan's up. Buck's up.
It's, I mean,
Jonesy's up.
It's always easy to look at years like that and say that until these guys start signing long term deals, right? I mean, I feel like we've done this in baseball for a while. And you know, keep in mind with the Astros that you know, like this does seem like a great plan for the White Sox. I agree, but the White Sox have been, you know, a mediocre team for a few years that have been trying to contend. I think the Orioles are in a different spot. It's a great plan, and you know,
worked out when you could draft picks that high too. They also had, you know, top five picks for the, you know, however many years in a row. The Orioles don't ever get top five picks because Buck's not going to ever finish under 500.
And the Astros fans had to see 2011, in which they won 56 games, 2012, in which they won 55 games, and 2013, in which they won 51 games. They only won 70 games in 2014. I mean, that is a 4-year stretch, and they won 76 and 74 the 2 years before that. So really a 6-year stretch of just miserable baseball to watch. Right. I mean, it's miserable. So it is so easy to sit here and say, well, look at how the Cubs did it and look at what the White Sox are doing. But keep in mind, I mean, this is like a 5-year plan, right? This is like, I mean, this is
and a lot of things have to happen.
Extreme measure. Yeah, a lot of things have to happen.
I mean, you're guaranteed a lot of things have to happen.
People think that just because you're drafting that high means, you know, you're going to be good in 5 years. That is not the case. And if you're an Orioles fan, you should definitely know that that's not the case, okay? Because
you
Orioles
go back
have
to the old
plenty
days?
Of high draft picks that did not pan out. So, I don't know. I think we should feel a little more fortunate about having a team that's made the playoffs, you know, 3 out of the last 6 years. And you know, has been in contention the rest of the way. So, you know, this team is not the White Sox, right? The White Sox had to do this. This team's not the Twins. They're not the Astros from a few years ago.
Nope.
They're a contender. They're not far removed from winning, you know, what's always the toughest division, in baseball. So,
and I think we're a home playoff. Honestly, we are a home playoff game as opposed to a road playoff game. I think, in my opinion, the wild card game gets played in Baltimore. I think the Orioles win that game.
I've heard Buck talk all winter meetings, right? How different is last year, is the 2016 season, if you know, if they have Darren O'Day the whole way, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's completely different. It's completely different. And remember, they were winning that division for more days than any other team was. So
remember June? June was fun.
Yeah. So just keep that in mind, you know, when you're seeing, you know, the White Sox blow it up and everybody's talking about the Yankees farm system. It's great, right? The White Sox, they're going to rank real high in farm system rankings. But you know who else ranked real high in farm system rankings for a while? The Twins ranked real high for farm system rankings. How the
Astros.
Twins? Yep. I mean, the Astros did. And they've been good, but has their plan, you know, has their plan worked out? They made the playoffs in 2015, but they won 84 games last year.
Yep.
And finished in third place. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're a much better team and they're in a much better spot, and I think they're going to be good this year. But if you're a fan aren't of the Astros, aren't you sweating that out a little bit now? I mean, aren't you a little bit worried about that? You have some great players. I think you've got a great manager in AJ Hinch, a really smart front office. But you finished in third place last year.
Yep.
I mean, I'd be a little concerned about that too. And that's a lot of years of losing to finish in third and be hoping in 2017 that, you know, these guys are all going to pan out and you're going to win that. Because to me, if you're going to go that extreme, if you're going to go the Cubs route and you don't win a World Series, I mean, it's a complete waste. It's not like right now where the Orioles are, where I'm happy. I want to live in a world where I get to see the Orioles win a World Series, but I'm very happy with how competitive they've been, right? If they blow it up and make me wait for 5 years and that group that they make me wait for doesn't win, I think I'm twice as more angry as I was before that plan.
Well, I put my money where my mouth was, Zach. I purchased our season tickets again this year, 29-game plan. We're going back down second row, section 74 on an aisle. So we're moving back down to the lower box area. So I'm excited by that. But the reason why I say that is just to say, regardless of what product they put on the field, you and I are baseball fans. We're going to go out and see it and watch it and, you know, no matter what. But I'm glad you kind of give the perspective of, hey, guys, you know, if you want to get some perspective, perspective, go back to 2000, 2001, 2005. Remember those terrible years where you knew at the beginning of the year you had no shot. This team, no matter who they have, as long as Buck's the manager, Manny Machado's on the team, Adam Jones, certain guys, they have the team that you're like, well, that team's – you could put whatever numbers they want on it. All I know is that the Orioles usually are in the mix for the playoffs, haven't finished under 500 under Buck Showalter in a full season. So you're right. I don't see that there's that much different. And with everybody still here and that window that everybody talks about that continues to close, well, whatever, regardless if it closes or not, play it out the way you are. Because I don't think there's any other option for the Orioles unless, like you said, you make that determination that, number one, you want to kind of blow it up and do it, then you're going to have to move both Manny and Britton. I don't think it's a one or other. I think if you're going to do it, you do it. You go big or go.
And if you go with that too, right? If you go with that, are you going to leave Buck Showalter here to manage a team that's going to win 60 games? I mean,
will he want to do that?
What difference?
He doesn't want to manage much longer, right?
I mean, and keep that in mind too. Like the Astros didn't have Hinch in place when they were they were winning 50 games, right?
Yep.
The Cubs, they didn't have Joe Maddon in place when they were busy tanking, right? So keep that in mind too. I mean, you know, everybody loves Buck Showalter. Add me to that list. But, you know, is he going to want to be there? Does it even make sense for him to be there if that's the plan that you go with? I think a lot of people, and I understand it because, you know, we're all about trends like in the world today in general. I think a lot of people have seen the Cubs plan and that trend of how they were able to do this and think that, like, that's the formula, right? That's the way. But there are, you know, 1,000 different kinds of formulas for winning a World Series, you know? I mean, there really are. You can win a World Series without ripping your team down to its core and, like, completely restarting. You can. Ask the Giants who have won 3 of the last 6, you know?
I saw the trophies. They're unbelievable.
There are plenty of ways to do it, and I've always been of the mindset of, you know, give me the most chances, and I think you get the most chances by making the playoffs. Give me a core that makes the playoffs, you know, what? I think I've said 7 out of 10 years, right?
Yep.
And I'll feel pretty good about that because I think it's a roll of the dice once you get to October.
Once you get there. Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's building it. Yeah, you're right. And building it and keeping it together. And like I said, you have the opportunity last year of winning that playoff game in, you know, against the Blue Jays. And in my opinion, the Orioles would have beat the Rangers just like Toronto did. I think the Rangers were the flawed team. And I thought that they could have went on that run. And then you kind of figure it out from there. But you're right. And so you talked me off the ledge a little bit. I wasn't that upset because I know kind of what's going on up there. I know the way the warehouse works, and they're not going to be the team that's going to be flashy, not going to be the team figures out. I do think they're going to bring in a leadoff hitter. I know they're going to bring in a catcher. Don't be surprised if it's Nick Hundley, because that seems to be the kind of the way that it's coming out here, especially as they continue to dwindle away. I agree with you, Zach. I don't think Matt Wieters has completely signed his, you know, thank you fans letter yet, like a Nick Markakis type deal. I don't think that's for sure. And the Trumbull thing, I think, is 50-50 at this point. And I don't think I could have said. I think that's about a higher percentage than I thought I would say in this offseason. But based on the market, based on the teams that he could possibly go to, and based on the fact that they still have dialogue with him, Zach, still gives me the opportunity to think that, hey, you know, Mark Trumbull could be an Oriole again next year, and then you got your DH situation figured out. I know Mancini maybe wanted to be there. Well, you know what, Mancini, go rake in spring training and find your way onto the roster somehow. Make them want to have to move Chris to right field. Make them have to figure out something that, if you want to play here. Or, for once, the Orioles might have a guy that they could move as surplus of a position, kind of like they do in the bullpen right now. Yeah. So that could be, you know what, you want to make a bigger deal, Orioles, you want to go out and get a stud pitcher. If Mancini shows that he's doing some things and people are interested in Mancini and Brock together, now you got yourself a couple guys that you can start building a package around.
Yeah, definitely. And I love Brad Brock too, right?
Me too.
I mean, I was so defensive. I was so defensive of him, you know, and with his first half saying that he should be an all-star. But I recognize what happened in the second half, right? And the truth
Darren is... Darren O'Day happened.
Yeah, well, yeah, right? And the truth is that the real Brad Brock is probably somewhere in between those two guys, right? So if somebody's going to value him, you know, real highly, it would make sense for the Orioles to move him if they can fill a need. I'm fine with that.
Gotta make sure Darren's healthy.
Yeah, that too. But, you know, you're also more financially invested in Darren O'Day, assuming he's healthy, than you are in Brock. So
Yep.
Overall, don't push that panic button. You never should at the winter meetings. No. You never should, you know, in spring training. And it's a long season, and I tend to think the Orioles know what they're doing. So
figure it out.
Yeah.
They will figure it out. Well, you figure out a good time with you and the missus. Happy anniversary to you.
Thank you.
And the wonderful Miss Wilt, who puts up with – well, you're actually a pretty good dude. It's not like Miss Burns who has to put up with me. But she – you guys are good eggs together, cute, cute couple, and you're going to make beautiful babies one day. So happy anniversary to you. And enjoy all the fruits and no alcohol at the Magic Kingdom tonight.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sour balls for everybody.
Thank you for hashing out a winter meetings in which nothing happened with me for 40 minutes.
Yeah, we did like 40 minutes, though. That's how we could do it.
40 minutes on nothing that happened. So
no, and I will tell you this, though, out there. And if you're looking for winners for the weekend or anything like that, and I need some. I can't tell you how just pitiful I am at DraftKings the last couple weeks here. I've been about as cold as the Orioles in the hot stove. It's just been awful. A couple games to kind of look in on this weekend that you might find some scoring. I see some scoring in the Redskins-Eagles game this weekend up in Philadelphia on Sunday. I feel like there'll be some points scored in that game. I think if you're also looking up maybe a little bit more north, I think Pittsburgh and Buffalo, depending on the weather, because that's going to play effect this week. That's another game that you might want to take a look at the total there. And I'm going to call this right now, Zach. This is my... I told you this is kind of goes back to my theme of the whole NFL season. The Browns are going to beat somebody, Zach, and the Browns are going to win this week, Zach. They're playing at home. They're playing the Bengals. They're getting 7 points, and our Jesus is back on the field. So you will see him for a quarter until he gets hurt. But I think that the Brownies upset the Bengals and get their one W of the year. Wow. So that's my three big takeaways for the weekend coming forward. I know there's a lot of fantasy playoffs out there for people. And we're definitely going to talk about Ravens and Patriots on Monday. I have a little bit of a vibe, a little bit of a lean, and let's just say it rhymes with Merple, because I have a feeling our boys from Baltimore are playing really well. They play really well up there. But let me get the weekend of Tito's to kind of marinate in that, make sure I'm not going crazy. And we'll get back to that on Monday, and we'll preview that game on Monday for everybody.
Love it. Sounds good, man. Well, have a great weekend. Thanks for hashing it all out for me. And,
you got it, pal.
And a bold prediction there at the end by Jabby Burns.
Well, the Browns are going to beat somebody.
Good stuff, man. Always good talking to you.
You too, pal.
For Jab, I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Baltimore Sports today. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.